Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But take us right back to the very beginning. Where was it that you first met?
We first met at a dance in Blairgowrie. Up a bit, okay. At a dance in Blairgowrie, and the girl I was there with had been at school with Eddie. So that's where we first met. Yeah.
So she introduced us.
Yeah.
And Trina's been so glad ever since. I mean, it's amazing.
So what was your first impressions of each other at that dance, as your eyes locked over that room? What was your first impressions?
My first impression of Trina was her hair. It was lovely. Beautiful hair. No. I always liked her. She had long hair at that time.
Sure.
So that attracted me to
I didn't know Eddie at school, but I knew of him at school. So I was quite thrilled that he came and asked me to dance. So, and what I liked about him was he wasn't one of the guys that were having to show off in front of his mates. You know, he seemed to me to be secure just in who he was, and I liked that. Yeah.
And then, did you continue going to dances, or how was dating? How did all that happen?
We didn't see each other again for about 6 months.
Were you in prison?
No.
For the bus fares to Dundee, that's
how. I stayed in Blairgowrie. Trina was in Dundee, but we did meet 6 months later again at a dance, and it was from there on that we saw each other more regularly. Yeah. Yeah.
So we were, 15 and a half at that, 16, 15, around about that age, yeah.
Yeah.
So thought we were all grown up, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were, yeah.
And so how did the relationship then grow from meeting each other at dances? How did it start to grow to be more serious? How did you know that was going to be the right person for you?
I don't know, Stephen, when really, I don't know when I knew that, the answer to that.
We just began to see each other more often.
Yeah.
Not just at the weekend, it would be that I would go through to Dundee, and we just enjoyed getting together, huh?
Yeah.
And so we did more regularly.
Uh-huh. And when was the first time the kind of meet the parents thing happened?
Oh.
I'm not answering that.
Well, the first time I took Eddie home was a bit of a... My mum and dad always had people round the table. So the first time I took him home, there was like... my auntie Ina and my uncle Donald and my cousin Evelyn and my auntie Jessie and my uncle.
It was a family affair.
And so he was a bit shell-shocked, you know. And the first time Eddie took me home, took me to meet his mum and dad, and it was lunchtime. And Eddie's family were, like, they worked on the farms. So the family all came in. Were your two brothers, eh? Two brothers and his dad that worked on the farms. And they came in for their lunch. And they got it all in the one plate.
Not all at the same time.
Not all at the same time, but they got their soup in the plate. And then when they finished their soup, their mum dished up the mince and tatties, went in the same plate. And I was horrified at this, you know. It was like... So, yeah, that was our first meetings. But
it was a bit tense beforehand. Because my mum could be a bit unpredictable.
That's a good word, yeah.
Well, you're laughing at? Serious. But I didn't really know how the first introduction would go. Would it be a good day, or would it be something a little bit, untoward?
And did your parents say anything about your choice of partner to bring home? Did they make any comments, or?
Not until after we were married, Stephen, and then my mum said, years later, I never thought you two would make it. That was what she said. So there was no, I suppose, they thought we were young, but my role model was my older sister. And she got engaged at 18, so I got engaged at 18. She got married at 20. I got married at, she had her first baby at 23. So in a sense, they were used to the pattern. But I can't ever remember them really saying very much one way or the other.
And what about you, Eddie? What were you? Was it a good day for your mum? Was she impressed?
She was. Yeah, she was well impressed with Trina, because Trina was on her best behaviour that day as well. So, you know, they were treading gently, yeah. Both of them. But yeah, mum took to Trina quite well.
And then when did you decide then, I'm going to propose, I'm going to put a ring on her finger, and we're going to set off on married life together?
Well, yeah, it wasn't the most romantic of events, but I'd been through, I was visiting Trina in Dundee, and I'd known that I wanted to ask her to marry me, but the night went on. And the night went on, and the night went on. And the next thing was I needed to leave to catch a bus. So it was, Trina, I'm just thinking, would you marry me? You know, aww. But at the same time, the time for the bus. So it wasn't just, it wasn't the best. Really, was it? It was.
Well, no.
See, I always think, though, Eddie, it doesn't matter if it's the best, as long as she says yes.
Yeah.
That's the most important
part.
Well,
she did say yes, yeah, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, and yes. She said yes.
And then how soon after the proposal did you actually get married? How long of an engagement did you have?
2 years.
Well, my sister waited 2 years, so, I mean, that was the pattern.
And what do you remember most about your wedding day? We've seen some photographs there.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, that photograph there, you can see, Trina, the hair. I mean, that was one of my clearest memories of our wedding day, was how beautiful she looked. And her hair, and her hair was done, and the veil and the wedding dress. I just thought she looked quite spectacular.
Oh, that's very nice. You made up. There you go. That made up for your proposal. Eddie, you've got a fair crop of hair there,
yeah.
Too.
That, that was the way to be when I was a young guy.
What year did you get married?
The 72.
1970?
72.
I was minus four, so you're.
Yeah. Minus four.
Well, there you
are. What about you, Tina? What do you remember most about that day?
I remembered it was an absolutely beautiful day, and I remember being surprised at how many, we'd only lived in that area for a year and a half, and I remember being surprised at how many neighbours were waiting outside when I came out. The actual wedding day, I think if we're being honest, we were probably both a bit, as Eddie says, his mum was a bit unpredictable. So, and my mum and dad's marriage wasn't good at the time. So I think we were both probably just glad that it went without any drama. So that's probably been the most honest, yeah.
On my wedding day, I had a surprise. I was in Diggs at the time. And my landlord, I was up early in the morning, had gone out for a walk, came back in again. And he said, Eddie, would you like a little dram? Now, that was a surprise, because he was a teetotaler. And yet he was offering me something to settle my nerves. I thought that was quite, I think it showed some concern for me.
So, Trina, you were Dundee and Eddie was Blairgowrie. So where did you settle once you got married? Where did you set up home about?
We settled in Blairgowrie because I'd been brought up in and around that area. So we never seemed to have it. There was no way that Eddie would have wanted to live in Dundee. And I was quite happy to move back to Blairgowrie. I still had family there. My sister was still there. So, yeah. That was where we had a farm cottage, £2 a week rent or something like that it was. So, yeah, but it was, that's where we went.
So there was a lot of adjustment then. There was the actual geography of moving, then living together, the responsibility of finding rent, paying rent, all those kind of things. How were those early days of marriage?
Well, I think what we have to say is Eddie and I weren't Christians when we got married.
That always means there's a story coming.
Yeah,
there was a story.
So the early days of marriage were difficult. Mm-hmm. We would say that we'd lived pretty much independent. Eddie had friends, I had friends. We hadn't really thought through being married.
Assuming there was no marriage preparation classes or...
Mm-hmm. No, there was nothing like that for you. And we didn't have role models either. So it was difficult to learn how to live together, really, rather than being two individuals. And I would say we never learnt until we became Christians. Mm-hmm. So for the first 7 years of our marriage, it was difficult. Yeah.
We didn't realise at that time, of course, two become one. Mm. As Trina's saying, it wasn't until we actually had an encounter with God that we then began to learn that God had a plan for marriage. It wasn't just something that we had thought up, that we wanted. It was a God thing as well.
We didn't know there was another way of doing marriage. Because so there was lots of adjustments.
There's quite a lot of tension at the beginning, because we were both the youngest in our families, and we were quite selfish. We liked things our own way, you know, and here we were now having to consider someone else and yet still wanting to be the kingpin, you know, both of us.
Yeah. And of course, I'd lived, Eddie was in digs, but I was still at home. I was still living at home. So suddenly you're married and you have to do the shopping, you have to make the tea, you have to do the water. I mean, I had to do his washing. I mean, these things never occurred to me before, you know. All of these things.
I had to do the housework.
That I don't remember, but, you know, maybe. It's a long time ago. Maybe I've just forgotten.
Yeah.
So during those early years, and you mentioned that there was a few tensions and stuff, how did you learn to overcome those tensions in those early years? Because, I mean, if it was 7 years married before you then came to faith, so how did you manage those tensions in those 7 years?
We didn't manage it, Stephen.
Okay.
We were really bad at it. Because, as I say, we were so selfish that it wasn't my fault that we had a falling out, you know. It was always, you know, the tension was always there. When we had an argument, we really didn't learn how to deal with that.
Part of the problem was you wouldn't argue.
No,
Eddie would just go quiet. And that annoyed me all the more because he wouldn't, you know. And so my way of dealing with it was I would, like, go in the huff if I was annoyed. I would give him the silent treatment. But Eddie never realised I was in the huff. I don't know whether it's a man thing or not.
Maybe he was enjoying the silent treatment.
Well, either that or he just wasn't putting fuel on the fire. Yeah. But I can remember one occasion, and I don't, if we're being totally honest, there was a time...
You have to be totally honest.
Totally honest, where Eddie actually would drink a bit too much. And he would admit to that, so, you know. So that often wound me up, if he would come home, the worship, drink. So if it was a night like that and I was really mad, when he was sleeping, I used to punch him. When he was sleeping and get out.
You know,
because he, you know, but outside
I'm
of that,
laughing because I just can't even imagine that, Sheena.
But outside of that, what I would do was I would go in the huff. And I remember on one occasion walking out of the house, slamming the door and walking up the street. And I walked so far. We're out in the country in this. And I walked so far. And he never came after me, so I just had to turn around and go back home. So that I realised that didn't help.
And I'm just wondering, did you even realise that she had gone?
She made it very obvious that she'd gone.
I tell you, it's a miracle we're still together.
Were there times in those 7 years before God came into your relationship, were there times where you thought, I'm just not even going to do this? I could just walk away from this.
No.
What kept you there?
We wanted to be together. We knew that we wanted to be together. And then I never considered at that point anything else. As tough, as frustrating as it was, you know. There was a love between us that kept you just, even if it did, you know.
So can you, like, I've heard both your testimonies, but can you just share briefly about how you both came to faith after those 7 years? People would be interested to hear that.
Well, you know, God knows everything. And when we came to faith, we went to an evangelistic crusade in Perth, an evangelist, Louis Palau. And we went not knowing what we were going to. We didn't know it was an evangelistic crusade. Trina's mum had said, you know, there's a crusade in Perth. Maybe you would like to go and I'll look after the children. And we thought, oh, great, a night out. So that's why we went to this evangelistic crusade. And it was there that we first encountered God. And it was so good because we encountered God at the same time. So that in itself started a union, a coming together like we'd not actually known before. But God knows everything. And so if Trina had gone on her own and had come home and said to me, I've got born again, I'm in love with Jesus, that would not have pleased me. I would have been angry, and I might have said things that I might have regretted later. But we've said so many times that God, when he saved us together for a purpose. And we've seen that being outworked over the years, you know.
And how did you navigate those conversations together about what God had really spoken to you that night and how it'd come into your hearts and you'd, you know, asked them into your lives? How did you then come away from that crusade and talk about that together and modify together? Because that can sometimes be difficult. You know, I know certainly Stephen and I were married, then we went to the Alpha course where we were saved, and then you have to kind of talk about, well, this is how I'm feeling about it. How are you feeling about it? And how do we navigate this together? So how did that go after your evening at the crusade?
The night that we got saved, I went forward with a big smile on my face because what God had convicted me of was love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And I can remember thinking, I don't know how to do that. And I can remember thinking, I've fallen at the first hurdle. But of course, being the good evangelist Lou Palau is, he went on to say how, you know, about Jesus. And so I went forward so relieved Eddie went forward in floods of tears. And I think the fact that God touched us both so, our responses were so different, but they were so deep that we just, everything just changed for us. I mean, my sister that I've been talking about, my sister got saved 2 weeks later because she saw such a change in our relationship. Our next door neighbour got saved. My cousin got saved because they saw such a difference in just what Jesus had done in that 2 weeks for us. And so we never had any, it was exciting to talk about what we were, the Bible now was alive. Oh, these hymns we'd been singing for years, the words meant something, you know. And it was exciting for us, Elizabeth, to be able to, we had, I suppose for the first time ever, we had something we really believed in together.
And yeah, we had a focus.
We had a focus and a foundation to stand on.
But we were very, very fortunate too that when we did get saved, and then after the event in Blairgowrie, there was a group of people who took us under their wing.
Yeah, I was going to ask about
began
discipleship.
To disciple us.
Yeah,
it was amazing. Yeah, I mean, we didn't know any of them really. We hadn't met them prior to this, but without them helping us to lay down a foundation. And then at that discipling time, we met some other people who were also, they'd been praying for people who were going to go to this crusade from Blairgowrie. And then they heard Eddie and Trina Henderson got saved. Who is Eddie and Trina Henderson? Because they weren't praying for us. They were praying for another group of people, but not us. But when we actually had contact with them after getting saved, they were people who were looking for more. The baptism in the Holy Spirit was what they were looking for and all that that contains. So we got saved at a good time. There was a sort of mini revival going on, and people were getting saved, but they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit as well. And so we had, together, this desire for more of God. We knew that what we had received in Perth was only but the first stepping stone. Yeah. And the folks that we met in Blairgowrie that helped to counsel us were able to show us step one, step two, three. We're indebted to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where we first met Peter and Anne.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
And their mum was very much, I can remember Peter's mum singing. We were at something, and her singing that old chorus, I keep falling in love with him over and over. And I can remember as a young Christian standing there thinking, I want to be able to sing that one day.
So then, coming, circling back to your marriage then, how did this newfound faith impact your marriage? What were some of the biggest changes that you've seen?
Well, we learned how to prefer one another more. Learned how to forgive and not punch him during the night when he was sleeping. God delivered Eddie.
Yeah, you know, it talks about we're precious stones, and that Jesus hones, fashioned by his wondrous grace. We went through that period where we were stones that still didn't fit properly and needed to be shaped somewhat. But we were now, speaking for myself here, I was now more prepared for that to happen because I knew that I wasn't going to have to do it on my own. I knew that God was there. But also I had the support of Trina because the goal was go forward.
I think because we had the same focus, we made loads of mistakes, and we had a lot of stuff that we had to unpick from how we'd lived our lives, and a lot of stuff where that we had to own up to one another. And but we had good counsel. I think somebody that spoke one of the other nights said, I think it was maybe Val, Valerie that if you keep sweeping stuff under the carpet, you'll eventually trip over it. And so we were tripping over stuff for 7 years. And so that, yeah, we had to deal with a lot of stuff honestly and openly. And that.
And so then, how did then forgiveness look? It must have looked totally different after than it did before, because before you said you just never dealt with it.
So. We never dealt with stuff, no.
And so how did you learn then to forgive one another for the stuff that had accumulated for so long?
We read a book early on, and in that book, the chap said, when you have conflict in your marriage, put the problem on the floor in front of you, not on the end of your partner's nose, and look at the problem together and deal with it. And so we tried to do that. But I think also, like I say, Eddie went forward in tears the night we got saved, because Eddie knew what a sinner he was. For me, it took God time to let me see my own heart and to realise what a sinner I was. But that, acknowledging that, I think we both found that helped us, because it's, you realise, well, I've got to forgive him, because look at the stuff he's forgiven me for. And it was time for us to grow up, you know. And as Eddie says, just start preferring each other more and work together at stuff. And sometimes it was hard because of how we'd lived our lives in the past. It was hard to have to hear some of the stuff we had to admit to. But we knew it was necessary if we wanted a good foundation.
I was just speaking to Eddie before I sat down here, and we were talking about confession, you know, having to go on a Saturday morning to confession. But that's what we began to learn, that we had to confess our sin to one another. Because as we travelled the journey, we realised that by confessing, it means you're making progress, because you know that you're going to get forgiven, or at least you hope that you're going to be forgiven and make progress. And I think that was one of the things that we learned, like this situation is down there. Let's look at that situation. Don't call each other names, you know. Yeah. Let's deal with it. And then ask forgiveness, receive forgiveness, and make that move forward. Yeah.
And don't bring it up again.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. It's
during our next argument.
Yeah.
Or before.
Don't, that whole thing of don't keep a record of wrongs, I think. By the grace of God, we've learned that over the years, yeah.
And how long were you married before children came along?
3 years, and Patricia was born, and then about 2.5 years, and Fiona was born, and then 4 years, and Rachel was born. So three daughters.
And how? Again, how did that change the dynamic of relationships and marriage when you've got three wee ones depending on you, and life becomes even busier?
Well, one of the first things that I remember, even before we had our firstborn, confessing that I didn't know how to be a father, that I was sitting on the kitchen floor in floods of tears, just at the end of myself, because I suddenly realised that there was a commitment being asked of me that I'd never really had to look at before, and I could see my own failures, and I was saying, I can't do this. I don't know how to be a dad. My own dad, he was a good guy, but he didn't teach me, he didn't discipline me in a proper way. There was things lacking in my own childhood, and I probably saw my weaknesses more than God saw my weaknesses, you know. But you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
But it was a good thing, because it was a confession again that I'd confessed before we'd had our first child. And but who's the greatest parent? We have a father who shows us how to be a good parent if we allow him to discipline and speak into our lives. Huh? Say yes.
And did your parenting style change after you came to faith? And then if it did, then in what ways did it change?
Yeah, it did change, because we understood more of train up a child in the way they should go. Not to say that all our children are walking with the Lord, because they're not, but it changed in that way, Stephen, that God was important and knowing Jesus for them was important to us. And so that our parenting, and also, I mean, I know discipline today is very, very, very different, and I'm not saying I maybe would do things differently nowadays, but that's how we were taught, that it was like three warnings and then, you know,
discipline.
So.
And then what about you, Eddie? So obviously you were chatting a few minutes there about how your inadequacies that you felt towards being a father, but how then did God help you overcome those perceived inadequacies in your parenting? Yeah.
I think, Stephen, it was more when God was showing me what sort of father he was, a loving father, a caring father, a disciplined father, and I tried to be a father like him. And I think I failed miserably many, many, many times, but I know that there were times when I knew that my fathering was right. It was godly. It was exactly how God wanted it to be. So, again, like anything, I think it was a learning process, a slow process, but a rewarding process. To see your children make a commitment to the Lord is wonderful. It's a beautiful thing. And it's partly because of the input that you've had with them. Maybe we didn't actually see them make that commitment. It might have been the Good News Club or something like that, that it really happened. But we know that it was partly to do with how I had been a dad and you'd mothered them. Mm-hmm.
And how, over the years that you've been together, that experience at the beginning of God coming into your marriage and really impacting you very positively, how have you made sure over the years that that's how it's remained? Because it can be quite easy to become complacent, you know, when life's good. And so how have you been intentional about keeping God at the centre of your marriage all these years?
It's never been anything we've had a problem with. From the day that we got saved, we were in church. And it's never been anything, even when it would be hard times, we've never, never considered not going to church. We've always given each other space for developing our own walk with Jesus. But God's just, he's very central to our lives, and so a lot of our conversations, God will be in it one way or the other. Mm-hmm.
And more so as we've gone on in our relationship together. I mean, there's not a day that we don't talk, share, give testimony of.
But that's because we're retired now. It wasn't always like this.
That's right. We've got the time to talk.
It's different when you've got busy lives and you've got young family, but that has always been important to us, that we went to church. I mean, and as far as the children were concerned, that was just what we did on a Sunday morning. We went to church, and it was never ever questioned, you know.
And then how much support and help then did you get from church and being in that church community that would help and strengthen your marriage and also helping your parenting? How vital was a local church in doing that?
It was invaluable. When we first got saved, without that anchor, I don't know. I mean, you can read a book, but that isn't the same as hearing from someone who may have experienced similar to what you're experiencing. And just to have someone who would pray with you and just seek God with you and then would ask a week later or a couple of weeks later, whatever, how are you getting on? How are you coping with since we last spoke? I think that's been, to be discipled is a must. It was for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we benefited from it in our marriage, but also in our
And just to know
parents.
At times, I mean, we've experienced it here is most people know Eddie's had a lot of health challenges over the last couple of years. And just to actually come in amongst people and them say, how you doing? Or, what's happening? We're praying for you. And just to know that people have got your back, if you like. Because sometimes you don't know where you are yourself. Where have I got faith? Have I not got faith? You can be so... So church for us is like that scaffolding.
We don't like missing church. It's like so... There's an empty space in our life if we, for whatever reason, aren't able to go to church on that particular Sunday. Maybe I've been ill and we've stayed at home and it feels like, oh, this just isn't right. Okay, you can go online and so on and so on, but that's not church. It's not bumping up against each other, you know.
And you reference the health challenges that you've had recently, Eddie, and how has that brought you together or stretched you as a couple? You know, it's been a challenge to face. What's that been like for you, and how has your faith helped you together in that?
Well, it's been really good to strengthen the bond between us.
Mm-hmm.
In that, I'm going through the health issues, but I'm not going through it on my own. Mm-hmm. Because Trina's there. And sometimes when I'm not exactly having a good day, well, Trina might be having a good day and she's able to hold me, and pray for me and encourage me and so on. But, it's been an amazing time of God's presence and his comfort and, his love for me and for us. I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit tearful here. When I had open heart surgery, the peace that I had was, I'd never experienced anything like it. And you're thinking, I'm going for a major operation, but really, I feel quite good about that because God's in charge. God's got this, So it's helped us to see God in a different way. The NHS have been an amazing experience for us. Just praying that things would work out for us and finding that things work out for us. And even the surgeon that did the heart operation was a Christian. So, God knows the end from the beginning,
And what about you, Trina, from your on the flip side of that? So you're looking on, seeing your husband being really ill, knowing he's going for major surgery. How did your faith then help you to get through that?
I've always been fortunate, Stephen, that right from the very beginning I had an appreciation of God as a father. And I know some people have struggle with that, but he gave me a vision when I was just not long saved that just let me see what a father he was. And so while Eddie was going through what he was going through, I was very much going to God as the Father and knew His strength, knew His comfort. I'm sure there was days that it was a bit overwhelming because, as you know, he went through heart surgery. But the time he was going through heart surgery, they were doing tests because they thought he had prostate cancer. So there was the tooth, but they wouldn't operate. They wouldn't do anything about that until he had the heart surgery. So you had a whole year of knowing this was going on. And just verse after verse God would give me in the morning, you know, or a song. I remember one day it was just the line of a song and it was, "He shall hold me fast." And I couldn't have told you anything else of the song, but that became our song for, we'll listen to it over and over again. So just the love and the Father heart of God and just that sense of, it's okay, I've got this, you know? Yeah.
Well, that's good. So what does prayer look like for you both? Is it, do you find it easy to pray together? Just share a little bit about that. How does that look?
Our prayer is a spontaneous thing. It's a daily thing. It's not a 6:30 we should be praying. It's not like that. Tuna has her own quiet time. I have time to seek God, be with God. But throughout the course of the day, we pray. How many times? I don't know. A dozen times in the day. But again, let's just say it's because of the situation that we are in now. We're retired. We've got the time. We see each other every day, all day. And if there's something that is troubling us or something that's come to mind, we just say, we should pray about that. Was it just today? We're out for a walk and there was a situation going on for Brian, our son-in-law, needed to go to Glasgow to fast-track his passport because his sister, unfortunately, had died. She lives in the Netherlands. His passport had expired. And so we just walked and prayed that they would have a brilliant day in Glasgow as a family and that Brian's passport would be dealt with speedily. Now, we heard later that all of that happened, but that was a prayer out for a walk, and that's how our prayer together looks like. There are other times when we'll put time aside to pray specifically.
But that's how it looks now, as Eddie says, at this stage of life. That's how it looks for us, and it's very just part of our day and whatever comes along.
And how has it developed to that? What did it look like when life, you know, kids were younger, you were working, you were busier? How did it look then?
I suppose it was probably because we've had to grow into our relationship. I mean, it's wonderful sitting over there and hearing the young couples talking about how they were Christians before they got married and about how they had friendship, and they were so much more mature than we ever were. So I love to hear, it was so encouraging to hear about Christian, getting married as a Christian, because we never had that. So we had to grow into all these things, and I think what we had to learn was that we maybe both had expectations of people that weren't of each other, that weren't realistic where prayer was concerned. So there would be maybe times where I would be wanting to pray about something, but man, Eddie was just in from a day's work, and what he wanted to do was have a cup of coffee and crash, you know. And so it took time to develop. That's what I'm trying to say. It took time to understand and to be able to say, well, look, that doesn't suit me right now. But so all of that learning, I think we just had to learn, really, Elizabeth, how to come together in these things, you know.
So what then would, or what piece of advice would you give to couples who are struggling to keep their faith strong together?
God's got to be the centre. Whatever it is that they're struggling with needs to be spoken about to each other. And I think if that's not possible, if the situation is so great that they can't talk to each other about it, then they need to seek someone that would come and be a third party in their conversation. Because learnt over the years, sometimes when you get counsel, that person who's counselling you doesn't need necessarily to say a word. Mm. He's just, or she's just there so that you can actually begin to converse and to find out what is it that's causing this difficulty with us that we can't seem to get it together here. And it might be a major thing, it might be the most ridiculous thing, but it still needs to be dealt with. And so get God into it right away and just speak about it. Don't hold it back. Yeah. Don't cover it up. Don't say, well, tomorrow.
Could be, because, I mean, it could be a resentment in the relationship that's causing it. Or it could be, like I'm saying with Eddie, that you're picking the wrong time. Yeah. You know, but you need to be able to be honest with each other and, like I say, well, this time doesn't suit me and this is why. Or, like, when we pray, you pray for about 3/4 of an hour and I really only want to pray for 3 minutes. You know, it needs to be honest and open to find out what the root is, I would say.
Yeah. No, very wise words. So what is it that keeps your love and friendship strong after all these years?
I think we've just grown to just enjoy being together.
Kirsty said when she was on the hot seat, I like him. And I think in our marriage, we like each other. You know, we love each other, yes, of course, but we also like each other. And that makes a huge difference as well.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy being together. Enjoy your own company, enjoy other people, but we do enjoy being together. And I think when you've been together, I mean, we've been together since we were 15. I mean, we're 74. I mean, you know that person, or at least you should know that person inside out. So I'm more secure with Eddie than anybody else. I can be myself, and that's a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. What would be your most favourite thing to do together?
I don't know. I mean, we it's a very simple and basic thing, but we really enjoy going for a coffee together and a cake. You know, and we found this place in Dunfermline that we go to now fairly.
I hope you have a cake each. A cake each.
Cake each.
It's a wonderful place, homemade cake. You know, but it's like going out on a date. Mm. You know, we enjoy the coffee. Well, Trina does. I drink tea, and the cake. But then we have conversation, and it's like even finding out some stuff about each other over that period of time, and it's a precious time.
Yeah, and it changes with the seasons you're in. And there's times that we would have enjoyed travelling together, times that, you know, it changes.
Going to Florida and driving in Florida with a Ford Mustang.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, okay.
And he would still do that. So, yeah.
So, if you go back 54 years you've been married? I think I can't. 54 years. If you could go back 54 years, what would you say to Eddie and Trina 54 years ago? Find Jesus quicker?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. I mean,
saved us a lot of heartache if we'd done that.
We don't know why it was that we had 7 years of a marriage and then we had a marriage. You know, it took us 7 years to plough through stuff. Why? Maybe we did hear the gospel. Maybe we just didn't respond. But yeah, get God into your situation as soon as you possibly can. And I think the other thing is, because of who we were, I say that were, we were selfish. We were spoiled. Mm-hmm. I would say, just get over yourself. You know, there's more to life than you. Yeah, that's what I would say to me.
And you gave an illustration on Sunday that I've been thinking about, Stephen, about the jar and about the golf balls and the... And I was saying to Eddie, you know, when I look back, my jar was full of a lot of sand. So I would say to that, think more about the golf balls or the important things in life. What was the latest fashion? Where could I go for dancing? That was what my life was full of at that young person. So.
And how did you approach it when you've got three daughters, but when they came and said, we're getting married, how did you encourage them, or what advice did you give them?
Elizabeth, before I want to know, though, how did you cope with the I've got a boyfriend?
He's asking for a friend. Yeah.
Yeah, asking for a friend, yes.
Well, yeah. How did I cope? I don't know if I did.
He did chase a few of them.
I think you have to take a step backwards. You're not going to reject your daughter. Mm. You're always going to be there and hopefully advise. But sometimes they have to make a decision for themselves after having heard what your opinion is. And I think... Yeah, to pray that God would bring the right person. Mm. I mean, we're very fortunate in that our three sons-in-law, we got on very well with them. They're all individuals, obviously. One we don't see as much as the others two we don't see much because one's in Blairgowrie and one's on the Isle of Man. But they've all got their own character. And we like things about them, that they're good men, mm-hmm. our son-in-laws, and they would be there for us.
They would be.
They have been.
Yeah, but.
Is that the answer to your question?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's when your girls are saying we're getting married, you're thinking how did you manage or did they let you? Get words of advice to set them off on the right path.
Our daughters were all 30 in their 30s by the time they got married and had been living their own independent lives. Mm. So we didn't have a lot of input, you know.
They were all married within a year.
They were all, go there. That was crazy. Two of them got married within 2 weeks of each other. That was absolute crazy. I don't know what on earth I was thinking about. But anyway, yeah.
I'm glad I've got one.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll find your way.
Oh, yes. So tell us, so obviously Blairgowrie, Dundee, lived in Blairgowrie, and now you live in Dunfermline. And is my memory correct that the first time you ever came to Found Church was at the drive-in church at Falkirk Football Stadium?
Yeah.
So tell us how that came to be, because there's loads of good churches in Dunfermline and in between here and Dunfermline. What brought you here to Found Church?
Well, it was COVID, wasn't it?
It was COVID
time. And for some, I can't remember, but the church we were going to decided that they were going to stay online for another 6 weeks. And who we were... to not get to church for us was like torture. And we just were driving one day and saw the sign for Found, and somewhere or other we must have read about the stadium.
I think it might have been online that this event was going to happen, and we thought, well, let's go and check it out. And obviously we did. And we were taken by the professionalism of that day. And the servant heart that we saw in the people from the moment we came into the car park.
Mm-hmm.
We felt like if we'd asked for something, the person would have found it for us.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we were at church, sitting in my car, I've only done that once before in Florida. That's a different thing altogether.
Sitting in your Mustang in a drive-thru, yeah.
Did I mention that I like a Mustang? Yeah. But here we were, and the testimonies that we heard, we were blown away. The worship was so good. The preach was so good. You know,
we're just connected.
The presence of God in that car.
Yeah.
We were so impressed, and we then came to church live.
At the Broomage.
At the Broomage, yeah. But we felt God had given us a word, though, in between all of that, that he said, I'm going to command the ravens to feed you there.
To feed you there.
Yeah. So, and we felt, and that has been the case. It was the case when we first came. We felt fed. We felt that we'd found a home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's plenty of churches in between that we could have stopped over. But, it just would not have been the same because, well, God didn't speak to us about them.
So, last question for you both, and then Elizabeth will pray after you. But finally, if you could sum up marriage in one sentence, how would you sum it up?
For me, marriage is it's fulfilling. It's fulfilling.
In marriage, I found a friend who's faithful, not only to me but to God. So I would say marriage needs to have someone who is faithful to God and true and trustworthy. And, a good friend. That's another F.
Yes, very good, very good. So, as we come to pray for you, is there anything specific you'd like us to pray for as we just round up the evening?
We were talking about this, Stephen, because we knew that you would probably offer to prayer, and we were saying there's lots of bits that we could say, because there's always something with family, isn't there? You know, or fine, you know, there's off. But I think the biggest thing for us just now is Eddie's trip, because he's going off to Uganda in 2 weeks' time. So I think we'd appreciate just prayer for that. Is that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We really appreciate it. Last week when we came along to the prayer for missions, that we received prayer ministry there, and it's good to be covered by the church that you attend and know that people are praying for you, not just at that moment, but whilst you're travelling and whilst you're there and whilst you're coming back home, and you just feel that security.
And Eddie, I love that you're still going on mission trips at your age. It's just great. I love it. It's very good.
Thank you.
Remember, if you're not dead, then God's not done. And you're the perfect example of that. So.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.